Guys, it's finally happening. Sports are back. 2020, I knew you had it in you. Sure, games will look different, but one thing remains the same. Hooters for your game day grub. That's right, no waiting in lines for cold hot dogs or warm beer. This season, watch the action from your couch with Hooters' nearly world-famous wings or not-so-famous but still delicious salads and sandwiches. And don't forget the fries. Come on, give your crew the food they want. Visit order.hooters.com for pickup or delivery. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I believe this is already episode 12 for season 5. Season 2, season 3, season 4, and season 5, all presented by our friends at Hooters. And let me go ahead and address right now the final decision as a result of Hooters' corporate decision that I respected not to host any fantasy football draft parties until further notice. Perhaps at some point near the end of the season, as we did last year, we had a end of regular season party where we all showed up during the final Monday night game of week 13, and we all talked about fantasy football. We even had leagues drafting against one another. We just had some fun with it. It was an excuse to get together, talk about what we did right, what we did wrong, which players let us down, which players were the best picks we had. Perhaps we'll be able to do that at some point later in the season. But Hooters made the decision, as you hear in the pre-recorded ad before I start talking, to encourage your takeout needs for fantasy football drafts. And I'm even incorporating that into a draft this weekend. So let me jump right into something, because many of you who have played in my podcast leagues over the past 3 years have been listening to the podcast and know and respect the Hooters decision. As a result of me not being able to gather all owners of all leagues, remember year two, we had one huge league. Year three of the podcast, we split into two leagues. One league that I commissioned both. I played in one league, and then we had Ira Kaufman, the Sage from JoeBucksFan.com, Tampa Bay's Hall of Fame voter, play in the other league. Then last year we added a third league, the Moneyball League, that I got the number one pick and no other draft picks, and had to build my team from undrafted free agents, waivers, and trades. It was a lot of fun. It was really challenging. And trust me, I really want to do that again. But simple logistics here. Because I cannot get everybody in one location, we're going to have to put two leagues on hiatus and hold off on expanding to a fourth league, which was the plan this year. So if you were in the Hall of Fame Fantasy League with Ira Kaufman, you're on hiatus until 2021. If you were in the Moneyball League with me, you're on hiatus until 2021. From a logistical standpoint, because Hooters isn't hosting us, and I don't want to betray their sponsorship by having everybody at another rival restaurant-type location, I'm just going to maintain the Todd Wright Tour Fantasy League that I commissioned, played in, and ran last year. Some owners from that league have moved over into my personal foundation league. We expanded from 10 to 12, which created some open spots where I was able to at least invite the champion of the Moneyball League, I believe that was Will, and the champion of Ira Kaufman's Hall of Fame Fantasy League, which was Paul. Will is able to play. Paul is going to sit this year out. And Ira is sliding over to play in the Todd Wright Tour Fantasy League, as is Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford. Sean was with us at Hooters last year. We're glad he actually was there with something that was a huge misunderstanding for a while, but we cleared it up. Bill Curry Ford is a big sponsor of JoeBucksFan.com, the distributor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Sean is a supporter of mine. Sean's dealership has taken care of my Ford Focus. And Sean extended the invite once he heard that Hooters was sponsoring the podcast but would not host us. He said, hey, we can do one league at the dealership, and we can do it in our new Big Storm Brewery. And so that's what we are doing. And if you are involved with that, you already have your invites. You're locked in. If you are not, I'm sorry. I'm not able to accommodate three leagues and consolidate into one league. Trust me, you will be contacted for fantasy play in 2021 when we can get everybody together in one room and I can do what I need to do with everybody in that room. But we're just going forward with one podcast league, and all owners are set for that podcast league. I did the best I could, and it was going to leave some people out, and I really apologize for that. I hope you understand, because I certainly understand and respect where Hooters comes from by encouraging takeout for your fantasy draft purposes, rather than saying, hey, everybody come to the restaurant because you're going to get three, four, five tables all hunching around a draft board or getting in close contact, and Hooters just didn't think that was a good idea. I'm not going to argue with them at all. So we will be spread out, all owners with their own table inside the Big Storm Brewery at Bill Curry Ford this coming weekend. Don't want to give the date and time because it's not a draft that's open to the public. But did the best I could with that. Thanks to Sean at Bill Curry Ford for the invite. And also to, we'll have two caterers. We will have some Hooters takeout, as we've been stressing on these podcasts for this particular podcast league. And also my friends at Papa John's of Tampa Bay, who sponsor Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments, as well as the Todd Wright Toddcast. Papa Mike, GM of the Papa John's on water, on West Waters, plays in the league. And he is going to be bringing some papadillas, individual papadillas, sealed boxes for owners as well. So it's all coming together. I just wish I could multiply it by three to take care of all owners that played last year. You will be contacted next year once we can hit the reset button and go forward as we wanted to this year. Thank you for your understanding. I'm sure there are a number of fantasy drafts taking place over the Labor Day weekend. I, of course, had my foundation draft last Sunday. I'll have the Todd Wright Tour fantasy draft, as I call it. It's the podcast league for this podcast this weekend, as I just discussed. Let me just run down some recent data via the tremendous site, much of which is free to use, which is great. fantasyfootballcalculator.com. This is I'm using data from nearly 2,000 fantasy football mock drafts over a span of 96 hours, the last 96 hours as I record with you right now at roughly 7 p.m. on September the 3rd. I'll go by position and just sort of give you some comments. And again, this is compiled from mock fantasy drafts over the last 96 hours, almost 2,000 of them. So this gives you a good cross-section of what's out there. Rather than looking at one mock draft or one best available, this is 2,000 of them combined with all recent info factored in. Running backs, McCaffrey, Barkley, Elliott, Henry, Kamara, Cook, Edwards-Helaire, Jacobs, Chubb, Mixon, Drake, Miles Sanders, Aaron Jones. Let's stop there. Why is Aaron Jones so low? I don't get it. I have been an owner of Aaron Jones in the past. I've gotten tremendous value out of Aaron Jones. As I've said on a previous podcast, and some of you have even said you've drafted Aaron Rodgers and got great value on him and agree he could just be really this year saying, you know, kind of fuck you to the Packers brass that drafted Jordan Love and go out and have one of his best seasons ever, admittedly off a disappointing season last year, especially from a fantasy standpoint. Sure, A.J. Dillon is a tremendous physical specimen coming off a quality college career. But everything that I've seen on A.J. Dillon says he's just not ready to go. And a lot of that is because we haven't had any preseason games or scrimmages. Aaron Jones had his biggest issue with playing time when Mike McCarthy was the coach. Not once Mike was moved out. So I'm a little surprised that Aaron Jones is not going higher in drafts. I don't own him in my foundation league, but that was simply because I was able to get Henry and Edwards-Helaire in round one and round two. And for what it's worth, I use Yahoo for all my leagues. They liked my draft. They liked that I got those two picks middle of the first two rounds and then Julio Jones middle of the third round, and it led to an A-minus grade for whatever that's worth. Sometimes that's right, sometimes that's wrong. But I do feel that the downgrade, for whatever reason, of Aaron Jones, I think we see this for some reason every year, and I don't really know what to make of it. I've owned him, I've loved owning him, and I would certainly own him again. Beyond Aaron Jones, you go to Austin Ekeler, then to James Conner, then Chris Carson, followed by David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, who could be headed for a 50-50 split, at least to start the season with Frank Gore with the New York Jets. Todd Gurley after that. Leonard Fournette. All right, so let's stop there. He's, as of right now, ranked at number 20, but most of these fantasy drafts were done prior to Fournette signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bruce Arians has said before and still says it's Ronald Jones's job. That could change really freaking fast. Ronald Jones is not the caliber of running back that Fournette is. And it's going to be hard once the Bucs see what Fournette can do and once he is up to speed on what he needs to be up to speed on to keep him off the field, which will certainly downgrade Ronald Jones. And I keep hearing that Shady McCoy had this great camp. But I keep falling back on them. What, you know, McCoy's now a year older, and last year he couldn't finish the season for Andy Reid. And then in the playoffs on a Super Bowl team, in three postseason games, he played one snap. I cannot get by that. I don't see McCoy as someone who is worth a draft pick investment that's going to pay off for many weeks to come. And Fournette's presence now with the Buccaneers just solidifies that even more. So I think Fournette's value actually goes up from this position currently at 20, where people were drafting him, not knowing what his situation was going to be. Now you do know. And Fournette should be in a real good position to produce, I think, sooner rather than later in the Tampa Bay offense. 21 is Melvin Gordon. 22 is the rookie Jonathan Taylor. 23, Mark Ingram. Concern there. Ironically, it goes Taylor and then Ingram. Taylor, the rookie, knocking Marlon Mack down the draft board, while Ingram is the established player whose value is hurt a bit. Sure, a lot of the rushing yards do come from Lamar Jackson, but Ingram's value, I think, is hurt a bit by Dobbins' presence. As a rookie, I see Dobbins on this running back board at 31, just behind Cam Akers, another rookie at 30, DeAndre Swift at 28. The rest of the group from Ingram to Dobbins goes Singletary, Mostert, David Montgomery, then Hunt, Swift, Ronald Jones, Cam Akers, J.K. Dobbins, Marlon Mack, Jordan Howard, Sony Michel. Wow. 34th running back chosen. 2,000 mock drafts over the last 96 hours. 34th running back chosen. I think that's low, but I get it. I owned him last year, and he was just very frustrating. Couldn't make the first guy miss. If you give him the ball in the red zone, he's probably going to get in, or he'll get the first shot, but need to see more this year. The explosion last year just was not there. Kerryon Johnson at 35. Phillip Lindsay, I still think he's a good value. I know the Broncos signed Melvin Gordon. But Lindsay's got to play. Terrific talent, hard worker, zero issues, plays hurt, north-south guy, light on his feet. I like Phillip Lindsay a lot. I think he's a tremendous value as a bench running back starting the season. And then Tevin Coleman, Zach Moss. Ironically, I sense Moss is someone that people want to own, but based on these fantasy football calculator numbers, it doesn't look like he's destroying Devin Singletary status. I mean, Devin Singletary is 24, just behind Mark Ingram and ahead of Raheem Mostert. But look, I haven't seen Moss live, but there's just this sense I have that Moss is someone who's going to play quite a bit and someone who you might want to own and have on your bench. For when he hits big and gets more and more playing time with the Buffalo Bills. And obviously they have a running quarterback as well. Matt Breida at 39. Now him and Jordan Howard are, of course, the two running backs for the Miami Dolphins. Latavius Murray at 40. I've owned Latavius Murray over the past handful of years, and I think we're getting to the point now where I don't want to own him. I just don't know how much more he can give. And if he's going to be productive, it's going to be tough to call the shot when he is, unless it's an obvious injury to Alvin Kamara in front of him. Amidst all the talk of Alvin Kamara and his new contract this week, on again, off again, etc. Alexander Mattison, and there's the handcuff for Dalvin Cook. If Dalvin Cook suddenly just decides, you know what, they're not going to pay me, so I'm not going to play as hard, or my shoulder hurts again, and I don't want to play. Alexander Mattison is the handcuff there at number 41. Antonio Gibson of the Redskins of the Washington football team, won't be the first time I do that. Ironically, he's higher than Adrian Peterson. I just think Peterson, obviously, very motivated to do the best he can again with Washington this year. I would expect better games early rather than late, but Peterson is someone who's not going to go into retirement quietly. James White, 43, that's because you're just not sure what his relationship is going to be with Cam Newton, named one of the captains. Darrell Henderson expected to split time with Cam Akers to start the season with the Rams at 44. Then Chase Edmonds, 45. Damian Harris, 46, competing for time with James White and Sony Michel in New England. Peterson, 47. Tony Pollard of the Cowboys, 48. Keyshawn Vaughn of the Bucks, 49. I think that now takes a hit. And Tariq Cohen of the Bears, who's a terrific weapon, but the mystery around the Bears and what to expect. It's just a team I need to see at least 1 week, if not more, for daily fantasy purposes and waiver purposes. In my foundation league at one point, the value pick was Allen Robinson. I just couldn't do it because I didn't know who was going to be quarterbacking the Bears. And maybe Matt Nagy doesn't know either, or he's not telling anybody, but I don't think he knows. Those are the running backs. Let me run through the wide receivers a little bit based on some of this same data and do it as quickly as possible. Again, nearly 2,000 fantasy football mock drafts over the last 96 hours. Michael Thomas, 1. Davante Adams, 2. Tyreek Hill, 3. Julio Jones, 4. DeAndre Hopkins, 5. A friend of mine texted me during his draft last night, and he said, do you have any concern with the drop in fantasy projected draft value of DeAndre Hopkins. And I said, no, but I understand it. When a player changes teams, especially goes from a playoff team to a non-playoff team, and goes from a top four fantasy quarterback to a second year quarterback who's still learning his way. And I think we all agree Kyler Murray at times was a good fantasy quarterback last year. But what really do we make of the Arizona Cardinals? DeAndre Hopkins is phenomenal. He really is. Goal line to goal line, red zone, big plays, moving the chains. He's outstanding. I don't expect a significant drop off for him. He's good at what he does. He can catch the ball. Arizona's not trading for him if they're not going to throw to him. Murray's a capable quarterback. Kingsbury's going to draw things up for him. I don't think much changes, but I get that he's gone from a first-round pick to a second-round pick. It's understandable. Then Godwin, then Galladay, then Evans, Thielen, ninth. Best wide receiver according to this data. I'm big on Thielen. This year I was just looking into the other wide receivers for the Vikings. They have one holdover from last year. They have another in Jefferson from LSU. Jefferson is someone that I might want to grab on waivers after week one or week two when I see that he's getting targets and or touches on the football. And how the Vikings use them. Keep in mind, the Vikings use two tight ends more than any other offense last year. So that could impact what you're thinking as it relates to any wide receiver other than Adam Thielen for the Vikings. Amari Cooper at 10, even though CeeDee Lamb is now with the Cowboys, there doesn't seem to be any concern that owning Cooper that Cooper is going to lose touches and looks because of CeeDee Lamb's presence, and I would agree with that. Cooper Kupp at 11, despite the foot or ankle injury that the Rams said wasn't a big deal. We know Kupp will play through virtually anything, even though he was hurt a couple of times last year. Ridley's value is up with Atlanta, which I think is interesting. It just seems like Calvin Ridley, and you're going to deal with this with every wide receiver, they're not going to produce for you every week. They're just not. That's not the nature of the position. If you get one big week, then a solid week, then another solid week, that fourth week could be like, you're like, what the hell? What happened here? Why did he only catch four balls for 48 yards and he didn't get in the end zone? It's just going to happen. That's the nature of the position. And there are other, running backs catching balls out of the backfield, other wide receivers. Some teams have tight ends that they like to throw to. It's going to happen. Ridley as the number two guy in Atlanta with a very capable quarterback to throw it around in Matt Ryan. We all know how talented he was in college at Alabama. We've seen him have some two touchdown games where he looks terrific and he works the middle of the field while Julio Jones is working the sidelines and going down the field. But it just isn't consistent. If you want to take the leap of faith that this year Ridley takes the next step, go for it. I'd rather see it than project it. Juju, down from where he was projected last year. And I think that's unfair. Because Juju, after Big Ben was hurt, week three, Juju didn't have anyone to throw him the ball. And Pittsburgh really, it was almost too much for him. When he joined the team, they had Brown, Bell, and Big Ben. And then suddenly, there were none of them. And then even James Conner got hurt early last year. I think there's a lot to like about Juju Smith-Schuster. In what is generally a good situation in Pittsburgh for fantasy value at the top three positions. And you always kind of keep an eye on what's going on there with tight end. Ben says he's fine, and I tend to believe him. So Juju Smith-Schuster to me, at 13th best wide receiver selected based on recent fantasy draft data. I think that's good value. AJ Brown after that, of course, he came on big last year as Ryan Tannehill's top target when they weren't handing the ball to Derrick Henry. Then there's Allen Robinson, then Odell Beckham Jr. Much less talk about the Cleveland Browns this year. There's only one Cleveland Brown I want to own, and it's Nick Chubb. That's the only one I want to own. DK Metcalf at 17, I'd be excited to own DK Metcalf, and I like that on this board he's ahead of Tyler Lockett. In my foundation draft, he didn't go ahead of Lockett, and I think even Fantasy Football Calculator had Lockett ahead of him in mock drafts that were done a week or so ago. DJ Moore at 18, another guy who got a lot of action late last season, now has a new quarterback and a new offensive system and is the clear number one guy. Then Robert Woods at 19, then there's Lockett at 20, and I'm going to stop there. Let me talk a little bit more about Robert Woods, because I ended up drafting him in my foundation draft because I couldn't pull the trigger on Allen Robinson, and I went with Robert Woods instead as my wide receiver too. And I actually said on this podcast previously that if I had it to do over again, because Marvin Jones Jr. was taken about 3 to 4 picks later, and maybe if I had it to do again and just admitting, I would have taken Marvin Jones Jr., who is a good red zone target and will have a healthy Matt Stafford back under center this year. Nothing against Marvin Jones Jr. I think the point potential of Woods is better the more I looked at it. And the guys at Roto World made a really good point about Robert Woods, how last year, kind of as much as any sort of number one wide receiver, he was the guy that you can't explain why he didn't score more. He had, I think, 2 touchdowns, but the volume was there. And you could say, well, they'd rather throw to Cooper Kupp in the red zone. Okay, but Cooper Kupp is not always going to be the right target. They are transitioning from Todd Gurley to now Cam Akers and Henderson as their running backs. And look, last year you could say to me, say, well, you've always said about Keenan Allen, and this was disproven at parts last year, and I admitted it, Allen was a between the 20s wide receiver. Maybe that's Robert Woods. Okay, maybe. But I tend to agree with the Roto World guys who say the volume's been there for 2 years, and even though the Rams aren't what they were, his abilities, his number being called, is still there, and you tend to believe Robert Woods is going to score more touchdowns this year, and won't be that guy who didn't get in the end zone. Often that's talked about with Julio Jones. Last year, even more than Julio Jones, it was Robert Woods. So I stand by my pick. And now I'm glad I took Robert Woods after taking another look at it and taking in some of the research and the opinions via Roto World. All right. My email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. And I wish you luck with your fantasy drafts this weekend. And we'll come back with another edition of the Fantasy Podcast, and I'll recap the podcast draft, which will take place this weekend. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We will talk to you next time.